Backseat Producers, episode number 62, the first three Indiana Jones films.
We named the dog Indiana.
Don't love to do, Dr. Jones.
It's not the years, honey. It's the mileage.
Indy, why is the floor moving?
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Oh, asps. Very dangerous. You go first.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Tony.
And this is Adam.
Actually, I thought I was going to get you there for a minute. But we have an extra voice, so I really couldn't get you.
What?
Mid-drink.
Oh.
No.
I'm crafty like that.
Yep. Welcome. And we are the Backseat Producers.
Whoa.
Yes.
Ow, ow.
Episode number 62. If you are new to this podcast...
You make a lot of podcasts.
We are new to the Backseat Producers. This is the first episode where we have changed the name. We were formerly Fanboy Smackdown Podcast. We are still talking about movies. We do movie review and analysis. And
I'm glad we've made the jump. So
I can
stop saying I'm on this podcast, but it may be this podcast by the time you listen to
right.
it.
Right.
I sent my email to Allison Mack.
Oh, really?
I'm on a podcast called Fanboy Smackdown. But we may be the Backseat Producers by the time you read this. I don't know.
So, you got your email and Allison Mack?
Yeah.
That's all right.
She's going to be at the Superman Festival. I'm going to talk to her.
Sweet.
And then abduct her. I hope she doesn't listen.
You better hope she doesn't listen at this point.
I mean, review her new media.
That's an interesting way of putting it. So, we're going to talk about the first three Indiana Jones movies.
Boy, are we in
preparation for the new Indiana Jones movie that actually it's what time is it? It's about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it'll be on 2 hours.
It's like 2 hours. 2 hours from now, it is going to be released.
Yeah, I have my tickets for Friday. Did you get the email for the invitation?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I didn't see his name on the list.
The email I got was about the anthology.
Okay, I'll forward you.
So. Anyway, a couple of really quick points, and then we're going to jump into the review. We're giving away stuff. We've got the Myst contest still running, and that runs until the end of the month.
That's a nice box set.
It is a nice box set. And the other giveaway that we have is for a new television show coming on, I think it's on USA, called In Plain Sight. And we've got the review DVD here, and Julie is going to be watching it and reviewing it for the website.
Sweet.
Yeah, and it's actually a really nice little set they gave us. But we're going to be giving away a gift bag, and it's a travel bag, a T-shirt, some kind of other shirt.
That's a lot of swag.
And a TSA-approved travel kit. The television show, the premise of the television show is that it's a the main character helps people get established in witness protection program. So, a travel bag.
Right,
it's
right.
Clever little swag. So we've got that, and we're working on a couple of other giveaways. There's Actually, I got another DVD in that we need to give away.
Really? You were just a clearinghouse of DVDs to give away.
This one is great. It's the Intimate... What is it?
Is that one that Jake wanted to read?
Chinese Courtesans.
The Intimate Confessions?
The Intimate Confessions of the Chinese Courtesan or something like that. It's a 1973... Kung Fu movie set in a Chinese brothel.
Dude, we need to all watch that.
I've got the disc.
Three episodes.
I've got the disc right over there on the table.
Yes.
Oh, 1973 was a good year for bad movies that are really good.
Yes, about Chinese
they just
brothels.
Roll the dice, and that's what they came up with. Chinese brothel. 1973.
Hey, the special features. Hey, the special features are that you can actually get the dubbed into English version of the movie,
sweet,
as opposed to the Mandarin, the original Mandarin Chinese soundtrack with English subtitles.
Oh my!
Nice. So yeah, we're giving away a lot of stuff. We're going to be giving away stuff for a while because we've got kind of a backlog now of stuff to give away. And I'm actually got one more email to send out, and we might be getting another something to give out.
Honest Tony Swag Emporium.
Hey, if we can't get you to listen by our content, we're going to bribe your ass to listen to us.
New slogan.
That's why I came back.
That's right. We bribed you.
That's right.
steady flow of beer.
Hey, we won't ask you to pay us to be your friend anymore if you come back. I was like, well, okay, why not?
That's a deal.
It's a deal.
Everybody wins.
I'm missing out the pocket change, but yeah. All right. The first three indie flicks.
I've watched them all within the last week.
I watched Raiders a week and a half ago. It's been a while since I've seen the other two.
If you flip on cable,
yeah, I know.
Every station is playing at least one of them three times a day.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
I had every intention of recording, I think Sci-Fi Channel last weekend had a marathon of all three of them. I had every intention of recording them, and I just...
I got to pick on my
friends. I was playing Wii.
I watched all three of them with... my buddy Dan and Ron, and then Armin came and watched the third one. And Dan and Armin both bragged about how they know every line in this movie.
Oh.
And here they are, and no lie, every single time they quote the movie ahead of the character, it's wrong. Like, flat, you know, like,
nice.
Dead wrong. And then there's this scene where, Armin and Dan are going to hate me for this, but... There's a scene where Donovan is, you know, looking for the cup, the right mm-hmm. cup, and
oh, let's go ahead and say right now, the
we're going to spoil
the earliest of these movies is next year will be 20 years old, so spoilers.
And if you haven't seen the Indiana Jones movies, what the hell is wrong with
you? You're not listening to this podcast if you haven't seen Indiana Jones movies, really. At this point,
classics.
I think it's kind of funny that we started, and I'll let you finish your story. I think it's funny that we started with Fanboy Smackdown. No, we started Fanboy Smackdown with a trilogy.
Yeah,
Lucasfilms, and now we're doing another trilogy of films that Lucas is attached to.
Well, it's just...
And it was a trilogy.
Well,
for the longest time, it was considered a trilogy.
What sequels is Lucas going to make when we change our name again? Is American Graffiti 3 coming out in like 2 years?
Or Willow 2?
Willow 2, or... You know, the Manhattan, Land Before Time 8.
Manhattan Murder Mystery, wasn't that one of his, too?
It might have been.
Like that.
Bullets Over Broadway was...
That, I think that was right? That's the one I'm thinking of.
I mean, all that stuff he did after he made millions of dollars.
Yeah. So, all right, so you were saying...
Oh, basically, so these guys...
So you're just jagging
line
up the stories?
Every quote is, like, wrong. Incorrect. Like, just slightly. And it's just hilarious, because they're giving each other crap. And then Donovan goes to grab the cup, and Armin goes... Why wouldn't he know which cup to grab? He's a historian, and no lie, the next line out of Donovan's mouth is, I'm not a historian. Which cup do I grab?
That's
like,
hilarious.
Like, you guys don't know anything about this movie, do you? Anyway, thought it was funny.
That's genius. Yeah, with Raiders, I was sitting there quoting along stuff just before he'd say it, and Julie would turn around and just say, you're just frightening.
I hadn't seen Raiders in so long, and then I started watching with my dad. I'm like, oh my god, it's Dr. Octopus.
yeah.
Oh.
I gotta say, if we're gonna review them, give a general comment as to what we think about all three of them, I guess I could start off by saying I always liked Raiders the best.
Mm-hmm.
I still like Raiders the best, but time has allowed me to realize just how much better Raiders is than the other two films. And then of the other two films, I actually switched. I always thought Temple of Doom was my least favorite, but I actually think Last Crusade now is probably my least favorite. Yeah, but Raiders is so much stronger than the other two films, in my opinion.
I think Raiders is the best made, but Temple of Doom is my favorite.
Interesting. That's an interesting one. Because a lot of people look at Temple of Doom as
the
weakest.
Black sheep, yeah.
Yeah, it's the black sheep. It's the weakest. It's kind of... off kilter from the other two, which is, I mean, it could be because the sequence of seeing them. I mean, I saw them as they were released in the theater.
I didn't. I think I saw Last Crusade first.
And then worked back. Yeah. See, I mean, I saw Last Crusade in my senior year in high school. So, wow. I mean, that's. I mean, and I saw it in the theater, and I think the difference was. Is that I had the frame of reference I had was Raiders. Raiders was what you had to live up to. And Temple of Doom didn't quite make it. And Temple of Doom was just so different than Raiders.
It was weird compared
to It was really different next to Raiders. But then Last Crusade kind of went back to that same feel that Raiders had. It was more fun. It was more lighthearted.
It had Nazis.
And it had, yeah, it had the Nazis. And I think that that's what makes Temple of Doom stand out as the oddball.
Because it doesn't have a Judeo-Christian artifact that the Nazis are also trying
exactly.
to
get Indiana Jones. Exactly. It's exactly right.
It's a good point.
You are correct.
But I think the one thing that's interesting about Temple, which is why I think I liked it better this time than Last Crusade, is I think in Raiders and Temple, the character is the same. But in Last Crusade, I think the character changes. And it makes no sense to me, since even though 5 years have passed between the making of the films, only 2 years have really passed in terms of.
I'm curious what you think the where you think the character changed?
Well, in Raiders, he's pretty much a cold mother, you know.
Yeah.
In Raiders,
right?
Okay? Yeah, he is.
In Temple. He still is, but it's a comedy all around him. It's like he's the same character, but around him, the reason the movie feels different is because everything's a comedy about how his interplay with that woman and the kid, and there's a lot of like stuff played up for laughs.
Right.
But
oh,
he's
man.
Still
Willie
fundamentally
was so annoying.
The same cold character. And then in The Last Crusade, he's a little softer. He's got a little bit more of a heart.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact
in love
that his
with that
dad
woman.
Is there.
I think that, yeah, I think that's it,
yeah,
too.
I don't even think that he is
there's
softer.
There's one scene that just killed me watching Last Crusade again. It's when he's like, I'm going to kill this woman, you know, put down the gun or this woman dies. And Sean Connery's like, kill her. And the Indiana Jones and Raiders in Town would have been like, damn right. And in this one, he's like, no, don't shoot. And he throws the gun down. I'm like, nah.
I don't know about that.
See, I don't know about
really,
that.
Because as soon as he thinks Marion is dead, he just goes on a huge bender. He completely ignores the Ark of the Covenant. He goes on a bender.
He's sad, but he never really acted. I mean, even if he cares for somebody in those films, he never acts like he cares.
What? Are you talking
about?
Oh,
no. No, I'm going to have to disagree with that, especially in Raiders.
Yeah, because
of Marion.
Yeah, the whole fight sequence, all those dudes are coming out of nowhere, and he's like, get out of here. And he's like pushing her down, fighting all those guys, trying to protect her, and then they abduct her. And then the whole sequence is him tracing after her.
If he didn't care, he would just let her go. She's not the reason he's there. She made him bring her along. I mean, at that point, she was dead weight.
Well, let me put it this way. I don't think the basket scene is evidence of that, but I will agree with you that that relationship builds throughout the film, and by the time he's willing to blow up the Ark to save her, that's warranted. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie's about him growing to feel that way. He doesn't right off the bat feel that way about her, I would say. I mean, I think it's incidental that she's there.
Well,
even though he wants to save her life in that situation, he still puts her at great risk. And even though it bothers him that she died, I mean, it's not like, it wasn't like that scene in Last Crusade where he meets this woman, has like a week with her, and then all of a sudden it's like, I'm gonna throw down this gun and save your life.
And it's even longer than what you see in Raiders, because they have a history too.
They have
right,
a long
exactly.
history.
It's a
10-year history between the two of them.
Yeah.
It's exactly. a 10-year history. It's a 10-year history, and she's supposed to be like 22.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've got the screenplay upstairs, and if you read between the lines and how old the characters are supposed to be, and maybe I think she's supposed to be like 24.
Well, she says
she
she's like,
says,
I was
a child.
I was just
loved.
A child, yeah.
I was too young, yeah.
And
he's
you
like,
were
I
old
know
enough,
what I did, baby, deal with it.
Yeah, you were old enough to know what you were doing.
And that's what he says, that's what he should have said in the beginning of The Last Crusade. as opposed to...
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I'll agree with you that in Last Crusade...
It's too easy.
You're right, it is too easy. And it's because I think with Last Crusade, they dumb it down a lot.
Kind of. I agree with that.
It is kind of watered down by comparison.
It's very convoluted. It's very complex. It's not as actiony.
And it's really taut.
Yeah, you're right. It's really
amazing. Mm-hmm. It's very well written.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And then Last Crusade is very... It's a lot flimsier.
It's also played more to the strength of Sean Connery than Harrison Ford. I mean, it makes him as big a part of the movie as Indy, and that's a big departure from the other movies also.
Yes.
It steals some of his thunder, which is kind of why he does some of the things he does in the movie, he acts some of the way he does. He fumbles even more there because, you know, his dad's there. He's still a kid in his dad's eyes.
That was a great dynamic too.
It was.
Sean Connery was awesome.
It was, and I mean, being a 37-year-old man, I still feel like I do things like I'm a kid in front of my dad, and he judges me like I'm a 14-year-old, and you see that, and you're talking about guys who are probably pretty comparable ages at the point when that movie was made.
Mm-hmm.
To those ages, and I really understand that dynamic whole lot better.
It was very organic.
It was. It was really. I mean, it was. For me, it's hard. I go back and forth between The Last Crusade and Raiders being the best movie. I think it always is Raiders, but Last Crusade still has a lot going for it for me.
Yeah,
and.
I didn't mean to imply bad or anything.
Right? No. And I think one of the things that I found more interesting, looking back at this, through the lens of time, Temple of Doom is not as bad of a movie as I thought it was.
No.
Because it was so jarring and was so different that I immediately was opposed to it at the age of 15 or whatever when it came out.
The Temple of Doom, the fact that they were all directed by Spielberg. Kind of makes you flinch a little bit because it feels like it's a different director.
It does.
And the thing that I think I realized when I was watching it this time made me appreciate it more was...
But Spielberg's wife is also in the movie.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. You know, and that's different too. Yeah, because she's kind of annoying.
Like, oh man, what if she wanted her to die?
Yeah, but she... Dude, that's a great character. I mean,
you're ripping the heart out of the wrong person.
It really is. It really is a great character because she's just so annoying.
Yeah. I mean... But like one of the things,
where did
like,
Short Round come from? Come on, he just came out of nowhere, sprung forth from the earth because Indiana Jones needed a taxi driver.
Well, you know
actually,
what though?
That's earlier than Raiders,
right? Right. If you look at it, if you look at the times at the beginning of the movie, they tell you what year it is. Mm-hmm. It's a prequel.
Yeah,
Temple is a prequel to Raiders.
And there are some interesting things in Temple that I never caught.
There's some problems with Temple because it's a prequel, but it's shown as the second movie.
There are some problems, but there are also some really interesting things. Like, they had the benefit of making that prequel so they could let him screw up on things that he gets right in Raiders, which I thought was pretty funny.
What things did he screw up in?
Well, there's the scene where... These guys show up with swords, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he gets ready to blow them away, and he doesn't have his gun. That and was then hilarious. Raiders, he has his gun, and he blows them away.
And see, I look at that as a problem because you know what to expect. You are expecting him to get it right.
Yeah.
Again.
He does the same thing.
That's so brilliant about it.
But I think...
It works as a punchline to the viewer, but it also works as a study of the character. Like,
he does the same thing.
But you only really know that if you really are paying attention to that little clip at the bottom that says... It's a year or two earlier.
Well, I still think it works. Another interesting thing is someone said, one of the people I was watching with says, he's so gullible in this one. Like in the beginning when he falls for the poison, and the guy's name is Lao, which in Chinese I believe means teacher, although I could be wrong about that. So like...
We're not going to look it up, so we'll go with that.
Seriously, because I think like Lao Tzu is benevolent teacher.
Get Grungy Dan on the phone. He speaks Mandarin.
Does he really?
Yes, he does.
So basically, like, in that whole scene, he learns, like, a lot of lessons that he doesn't fall for in, like, Raiders. Like, how not to, like, trust people and that sort of thing. And So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I'm at the mercy of not having seen the movie in a couple of years, so I'm going to have to rely on you guys for a lot of that. I think one of the complaints that I know at the time the movie was released, one of the complaints was the ripping of the heart out scene, mm-hmm. and that, oh, this is so horrible, I can't believe this movie is only PG-13 because of that. I mean, there was serious talk about the movie being rated R at one point. I remember. Specifically because of that scene, which by today's standards, I mean, you can almost see that on television. Mm-hmm. In fact, I didn't watch it on television this last time, but they may have broadcast some of that uncut.
I don't think they cut any of the Jones movies for TV anymore.
Yeah,
because I watched Temple and it was in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and realistically, I mean, if you look at that scene in comparison to the end of Raiders, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you're seeing a guy get his, you know, reaching into his chest, pulling out his still beating heart and holding it in front of the guy, which is terrifying in a way, and the guy's still alive enough to stand there and watch it, which is completely unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in Raiders, I mean, dude melts. They melt his face.
They melt his freaking
face. Which is, I'm sorry, the melting of a face is a little more horrific than...
The violence in Raiders... Although I would say the melting of the face looks pretty fake. The violence in Raiders generally looks more real.
No, dude, they got a dude. They put him there, and they melted his face.
That's freaking crazy, man.
You just don't know what it really looks like.
That is how it really looks.
I totally agree. I think Raiders was a lot more brutal.
You see the blood splatter on the screen a lot more.
Oh, yeah. He shoots a dude in the head, and his head, like, explodes in blood. Mary's like,
When the guy... gets chopped up by the propeller blade.
Oh, the blood is everywhere.
Oh, yeah. My God, yeah. I mean, we were watching it, and that scene was coming on, and Julie's like...
The monkey eats a date? Brutal.
We're watching it, and Julie's like, oh, this will be fine. I said, no. Because Holden was wanting to watch it. I said, we got to warn him or make him look away, because this could be a little much. And, I mean, we didn't let him watch the end. Mm-hmm. Because...
Understandably so.
I mean, the end with the ghosts and the phantoms and the face melting, that would have been far too much.
Right.
I mean, he's seen enough watching the Spider-Man movies and things like that he doesn't get freaked out if he knows something's coming. Mm-hmm. So we were able to warn him, somebody's going to get really badly hurt here. But it's not Indy. He's fine.
Don't worry. Indy lives.
Indy's fine.
Indy makes another movie. He's good to go.
So,
but I thought Temple was a lot stronger this time around.
I think it is too. I have to give it more credit than I would have given it 10 years ago.
I think they're a deliberate scene. I think it was deliberately going for a B horror movie feel, in that or one of those old 1930s haunted mansion flicks with bad.
You mean kind of like Raiders was going for the 1930s serial matinee?
Yeah.
That's exactly what those were. It's the same thing with Star Wars. It's the exact same thing Star Wars was going for.
Yeah, but Temple of Doom and Raiders are very different. I mean, Temple of Doom, there are scenes where it looks like he's hanging from that bridge or whatever, mm-hmm. and they cut to a scene with like six alligators in it, and it looks like it was out of a different movie altogether.
Yeah.
And I think they did it on purpose. I think the whole point was to make it feel like, you know, one of those old school like B horror movies.
Or the old Saturday serials. I mean, that was always the intention of Indiana Jones. He was supposed to be a serial hero,
right?
Kind of like your Buck Rogers.
But it's a little more. It's a little more hammed up. In Temple, than
in
Raiders.
In Temple it is.
Raiders is so slick, it's just a great movie.
Yeah.
Temple, you can understand a little bit more of the consciousness. I'm talking like Sean Connery.
Have another beer. You need to be drinking scotch then, sir. That's your problem.
Well, all right, then. I'll drink a bloody scotch.
We can make that happen. That's not a problem.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
I like the little things. I watched Last Crusade today, and they're walking through the catacombs, and he walks past a picture that is clearly the Ark of the Covenant from Raiders, and he's like, oh, it's the Ark of the Covenant. And she's like, really? Are you sure? And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I love that.
The Last Crusade has some of the better dialogue. Especially the interaction between Sean Connery and Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really... And I mean, that the movie lives and dies on their interaction, though.
It's funnier.
It is. It is a lot funnier movie.
I mean, when he comes in the window, Sean Connery hits him with a vase. And then he's like, oh, man, I feel really bad about this. And Sean Connery is talking about how bad he feels about
the vase. Yeah.
And then Jones is like, oh, yeah, man, it's okay. Don't worry about it. He's like, eh, oh, I'm sorry about your head.
Yeah, and I think they picked him because he was the original James Bond.
Yeah.
And there's no
We named the dog Indiana.
When they do that, that their dynamic is going to work. I mean, although right. you imagine that they're both good enough actors that it will, but I think, you know, to go in with this guy's going to play this role,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, hope that it works, and that it works so unbelievably well is really quite good.
to really get Indiana Jones, to get Indy's dad, you really had to get a good action hero. You had to get an action hero who was just outside of his prime.
Right.
And there weren't a lot of choices. Yeah. I mean, there really weren't.
Gregory Peck, at the time, I think, was alive. He could be...
He was probably still alive.
He could be... what's his name from To Kill a Mockingbird as his father?
Atticus
Finch. Atticus Finch. Oh, my.
Greatest action hero of all time.
Well, he did shoot that dog.
Well, actually, I mean...
Was the dog's name Indiana also?
AFI listed Indiana Jones as number two, and Atticus Finch is the greatest hero of all time, according to AFI.
Did they really?
That's a fact.
I can see that.
I can see it, too.
I can see it. It's just different. Yeah. Oh, my.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
I think one of the things that I continue to like best about Raiders, and in some respects, The Last Crusade.
Because they're the same movie?
Well, there is a lot there that's similar.
I mean, you can draw so many parallels. At the end, the thing they're looking for kills the Nazi.
Yes.
Sulla, come on. John Rhys Davies?
Yeah, Sulla's in it. Marcus Brody's in it.
Yeah.
Not in Doom. Come on.
Nope. What was it before?
I think Atticus Finch was in Raiders.
All right, what were you going to say, Tony? I'm sorry.
I don't even remember. It was about the villains. I can relate to the villains. I can understand the villains a lot more in those two movies and see where they're coming from and kind of get behind their motives a lot more than creepy guy with stones collecting children.
Creepy guy with magic stones.
With magic stones collecting children.
Ripping out hearts.
It's kind of bizarre.
I cannot relate to his hobbies. Ripping out hearts and collecting slave children. I can't relate to that.
Behind that.
Clearly that's a failing on your part as a movie.
Apparently that's my problem.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think they tried to... Well, from a business standpoint, this is what I think happened. They made Raiders, and everybody loved Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made Temple of Doom, and they're like, alright.
I'm sorry.
You over there snorting your beer? Is that what's going on?
Out of punchline, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to keep it to myself.
No, keep it coming.
I killed the timing on it. Go ahead.
I can just go back.
Start it over. Let him nail it.
You're saying.
From a business standpoint, they made Raiders. Everybody loved Raiders. Then they decided that they were going to do the next Indiana Jones story. Let's change the story up and make Indiana Jones seem whatever. And then they did it, and people were like, yeah, that's not so good. So then they're like, okay, well, let's do the same thing we did the first time.
Yeah.
Because that seemed to work for us, and then people loved it again.
Well, and, I mean, if memory serves, there's not as much world hopping in Temple of Doom as there is in
the others.
Yeah, I mean, he
from and, China they go to India,
and it wasn't really intentionally.
Yes.
I mean, they kind of get shot down. Am I remembering that right?
No, the pilots jump out. They dump the fuel, and then the pilots jump out. Then Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Okay. But why? I mean, was that all part of the plan to get Indiana Jones to that village?
No, he wasn't supposed to survive. Like, the plane was supposed to crash while he was asleep. Because it was Lao She's plane.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Again, this is part of my feeling of not seeing the movie for probably 5 years. Which is, you know, it's kind of funny. Julie kind of makes fun of us that I, you know, we'll get down to the movie review parts and we'll give the synopsis, and I'll be the one guy that says, yeah, it's been a couple of years since I've seen the movie, and you're like, oh, I just saw it last week. Both of you do this.
Yeah,
yet I'm the one that gives the synopsis, and I get it completely wrong, and you're going to say, no, that's not what happened.
Yeah, it's funnier that way.
It is kind of funny that way.
One thing that has always bothered me about these movies, how many whips does that dude go through?
Isn't it awesome?
Because he leaves whips everywhere. It's like, hey, was Indiana Jones here? I don't know. I only see six whips.
Yeah, where does he keep all the rest of them? I mean, he's on a journey.
And he only normally packs one.
Yeah.
He's got spares. He's got stashes. He's got stashes all over the Middle East and Asia, Europe.
They blend in, disappear.
Yeah, he's just got a cache of whips everywhere.
The humor in Last Crusade is top notch.
Yeah, they have some good humor.
They have some great jokes, and then they have jokes that you know that they weren't really going for, but the delivery was just hysterical on. I'm struggling to come up with an example of this. Maybe it's not even actually true. Yeah, I don't even
know. That was 30 seconds of dead air, brought to you by the Backseat Producers.
Brought to you by 3 bottles of Bud Light.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we got a promo to play.
And fill half an hour with something.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
We can talk about To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay, that's fine. Not like we haven't switched topics in midstream before. All right, we'll be right back.
The President of the United States is dead. He was murdered in the morning sunlight by a 4-year-old boy. So began J.C. Hutchins' Seventh Son Patio Book Trilogy, the most popular podcast novel series in history. Last December, the trilogy concluded. The heroes were triumphant. Or so we think. But now, it's time to go back and reveal moments in the Seventh Son story that were merely hinted at in the original trilogy. Welcome to Seventh Son Obsidian. J.C. Hutchins has opened up his Seventh Son universe and invited the 7 biggest names in podcast fiction to chronicle a nationwide blackout that rocked America during the Seventh Son trilogy. Seventh Son Obsidian features short stories from these award-winning and nominated authors: Michael A. Stackpole, Scott Sigler, T. Morris, Mer Lafferty, Matt Wallace, Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov, and Christiana Ellis. And even more tales from these trailblazing podcast entertainers: Evo Terra, Dan Klass, Wichita Rutherford, George Probb, TD0013, Soccer Girl, and the cast of the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. Obsidian also features dozens of audio and video recordings, stories of the blackout as told by its victims, created by Seventh Son fans across the globe. On May 31st, the lights go out. America becomes a police state. Because when the power fails, chaos reigns. Subscribe now to Seventh Son Obsidian or catch up with the original Seventh Son Trilogy experience at jchutchins.net.
And we're back.
And I was going to say this during the break, but we were struggling to determine whether or not we wanted to continue talking about Indiana Jones because we've run out of stuff. And
I mean, really, what can we? What,
I think,
where can
well,
we
no,
go?
I think that's kind of representative of the stuff. The past Raiders, there's not that much substance to the movies. I mean, they're just pretty thin action movies. And then at the end, everybody's happy. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're entertaining. I love them. They're fun. But...
Well, I agree with you, though, that Raiders is pretty substantive.
Raiders is different because they don't wrap everything up nicely. Like, right. There's no ride-off into the sunset. There's no right. elephant throwing water on the last kiss. There's the...
Well...
The crate pursuit. Being moved through the warehouse.
The pursuit of the object is very technical.
Top men.
Yeah, top men. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and then in the end, he's either claimed it. In the end, he's either claimed it and lost it, or claimed it.
Right.
Right.
And given it away.
Right.
So he's gotten it and then given it away, but he doesn't get the Ark. In fact, he's trying to get the Ark at the end of Raiders and can't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that is more representative of what you were talking about earlier with the way that the character changes, because at the end of Temple of Doom, he does the right thing. He gives over the stone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
At the end of Last Crusade, he ends up...
He doesn't get the thing, but they still all ride off into the
sunset.
Well,
he chooses not to pursue the Grail
right.
because his dad asks him to.
Right.
He chooses that. And then at the end of Raiders, which... Doesn't Raiders happen last sequentially?
No.
No.
Last
no.
Crusade
Second.
Last?
Yeah, Last
yeah.
Crusade.
Last Crusade last. Happens... It's like 5 years after Raiders. Something like
two
that.
2 years.
Yeah.
Is it 2 years?
Mm-hmm. That seems to me to be character inconsistencies then. I gotta go on record saying that. Because it seems to me that in Temple of Doom he does the right thing and it happened first. In Last Crusade he does the right thing and it happens last. But he seems absolutely obsessed with the arc in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well, but...
Kind of unnatural.
But at the same, point...
They want to have it for research. They don't necessarily want to have it for...
Like, greed.
Yeah.
For money.
Right.
But it was... If you listen to the way that they pitch it to him, the Ark is his payment. And he's pissed that he doesn't get his payment for
fighting. No, he says at the end of the movie, he's like, the money is fine, but the situation is completely unacceptable because it's a source of unspeakable power and it has to be researched and all this stuff and... And then they're like, we have top men working on it right now.
Who?
Top men.
That's great. I love that.
The internet is awesome for things like that.
One thing I think is kind of funny is the marketing of the new DVD sets. Have you seen any of the commercials for it?
They
market...
DVD
there's, but if it's well, it's not set. It's the... special edition, and it's the first time they're selling them as individual movies because because you can only buy the DVDs before as a collection. You can only buy them collected as
and I
don't own it yet. I still don't own it yet because I've been waiting for for God probably almost 10 years now they've been talking about making the sequel.
Right.
I mean, I
you
remember
buy the whole
I figured the next one's going to be the last one kind of thing. And they've been talking about the sequel. I mean, I remember when the rumors were that Costner was going to be in it.
Oh.
And he was going to be playing, like, Indy's younger brother. Swear to God, this is. I'm sure that you can find this on the internet, that I know that this
that
was...
That would be crazy.
It would be crazy. But this is also when Costner was actually at one of his high points. Because he does kind of peak and then bottom out completely.
Yeah, sure,
completely.
I liked Waterworld.
You know what? I liked Waterworld.
It would be cool if Kevin Costner
it was a good movie.
Jim Garrison as... That way you'd have a lawyer as his father. And you also have a lawyer as his younger brother.
Oh my goodness.
Did you ever see any of the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles?
Oh man, I have the first two seasons on tape. I love
that show was awesome.
You know, I never got into it. I heard it was great.
Yeah, like Indiana Jones
I know, I just never got into it.
He's younger and more ass kicker.
And it's more chronically?
It's more chronically. They were really good.
They were pretty good.
And then there was a series of books. Those were also good.
They're back out on DVD now, the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Oh, well, now
I believe so, yeah.
Thanks a lot for spending my money.
What I don't understand about the DVD set. If the first one is now Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, don't get me started
on that
crap.
Should the other two be Indiana Jones and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
Oh, yeah. Indy Indiana squared
Jones
and
Indiana Jones squared.
The Last Crusade.
You know what I was hoping they were going to do with the bonus features on the three movies? Do you guys own the box set for the Back to the Future movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched the Back to the Future movies with the pop-up video turned on?
No.
It's one of the special features. It's like the director stuff, and then boop.
Oh, that's awesome. That is great.
It's freaking hysterical, because there's like, they point out all this like foreshadowing crap. Like in...
Oh, the first movie, the foreshadowing is insane.
Yeah, it is.
Because I've watched that movie like a million times.
There's a guy hanging from one of the hands from the clock.
Really?
Boop. Look, this is going to be Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, that,
like,
man,
this minute mark of the movie, it's like...
That's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll have to go see that.
We've never done Back to the Future.
I would love
We kind of talked about time travel movies in general.
I'd love to do it because I have an unnatural fixation with time travel. Just tossing that out on the table.
You still need to see Primer. I need to push that out to you. It's a time travel movie. We reviewed it in like episode 40-ish or something like that.
40-ish.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It was a good movie.
It was like a year and a half ago or something.
Back in the FBSD
days. Yes, back in the day.
I don't even know what it stands for. Back in BSP 1.0. BSP beta.
Yeah, it was the beta. We're doing it right this time or something.
Writer.
More writery.
Oh. So, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, are you guys excited or what?
You know, when I saw the release, and it was Indiana Jones and the Shia LaBeouf, and they were just kind of sitting there, I was like, okay, whatever. And then
that trailer,
Harrison Ford moved aside, and it was Marion, and it was like, oh my god, you have not aged!
I haven't seen her, I just know she's going to be in it.
She might not have aged with makeup, but I saw her like just in an interview earlier.
She aged
a little bit.
I didn't really think she was hot in Raiders.
No,
you didn't.
She's an unusual.
She's a weird face. I'm sorry. I mean, we're gonna be honest about it. She's a weird face.
Are you sure you're not confusing her with the monkey who dies in the first half of the movie? By the way.
Oh wait, is she not John Rhys Davies? Was she not Gimli in Lord of the Rings?
Sorry, yeah, that's a huge mistake.
No, I don't know, man. I wasn't digging that. Actually, I don't really think that any of the Indiana Jones girls.
That's what I was just gonna say. It's interesting that the indie women weren't like the Bond girls.
Yeah, like the Bond girls are like supermodels.
Which is, I think that's actually kind of a good thing. Yeah, I think it just humanizes him even more.
Exactly.
And one of my favorite scenes in Raiders is the scene on the boat when. Uh-huh. When it's after they've got the Ark and they're on the boat, and he is just battered, you know, and she's trying to patch up his wounds, and he's
like,
just
come on, just go away and leave me alone.
Yeah,
I mean, it's so great just because he's just so messed up,
and then he falls asleep.
Well, I mean, if you look at the sequence of events, he has to fight his way out of the tomb that they lock him in.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he gets out of there, he gets into two fist fights at the helipad.
And one with a big dude.
A huge dude.
That dude is huge.
5 minutes after that ends, and everything has exploded, he jumps onto a horse and rides down, and then has a fist fight with like 25 Nazis.
Yeah.
It is a one-man Nazi destroying machine.
I'm kinda,
by the way, one thing about Raiders, I always thought it was cool, but they never really picked up on it later in the film. Maybe it's foreshadowing of the end, but when the Nazi emblem on the crate is
blacked
out,
that is awesome.
It's awesome. But was that just foreshadowing that the Ark was a supernatural relic and that things were going to happen at the end, or was it basically like...
I think that kind of showed... I think it showed that I think it was just a symbolic clarification that we're on the side of the angels.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think there was a whole lot more to it than that.
No one even points it out, even when they're carrying the crate around.
That's what I love.
Hey, that's black.
I love when they're carrying the crate out and it's blacked out.
Yeah.
Because
nobody cares.
The consistency there, I mean, it's just the continuity within the movie is really tight in that.
Yeah. I like the whole ship sequence. I think what's interesting about Raiders is all of the sub-characters, no matter how small they are,
are awesome.
Very strong.
Yes.
You know, Belloc is probably the main bad guy.
Belloc and Pew, And Pew is just creepy as hell. Yeah. But he oh my god, he is creepy.
Even the third guy, the main Nazi guy, and the uniform all the time,
with the little symbol on his with the headstone burned into his hand. And that creeped me out.
Katanga, he's a great.
Yeah, that guy was awesome.
He's freaking awesome, man.
I killed him and threw him overboard.
Oh,
leave
man.
Me the woman.
Great. Fetch a fair price.
Oh man, every character in Raiders is significant. Even the pilot in the beginning, man, he's hilarious.
Yeah,
that guy was awesome.
Yeah,
the plane was named C-3PO.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, we were talking about references to Star Wars, and we totally missed that one the other night. Because isn't there like a hieroglyphic?
Yeah, there's a hieroglyphic of R2-D2 and C-3PO.
And then there's the Obi-Wan Cafe and,
mm-hmm.
and Temple of Doom.
I don't know of any in Last Crusade off the top of my head.
I'm not thinking either. Of Last Crusade either.
Sean Connery might have been one of the Ewoks in Return of the Jedi.
Sean Connery was Obi-Wan Kenobi. It was in that episode they didn't show.
Did you know that in the beginning sequence of Last Crusade, it's a Boy Scout outing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They would not let River Phoenix wear the Eagle Scout rank.
Really?
Because River Phoenix was not an Eagle Scout.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah. So they forced him to wear the life, which is the rank underneath.
It was the rank underneath, yeah.
It's also the rank which I was, by the way.
So, me too. Same here. I never pulled the trigger on Eagle.
Yeah, neither did I.
Got all the way. Spent, God, probably 9-10 years in scouting.
All the way up to 18.
All the way up. Then it's like, Eagle Scout, I don't feel like doing that project.
That's a lot of work.
Volunteers? I don't even want to volunteer. How am I going to get other people to volunteer for a project?
That's what I said. I'm like, I wouldn't help any of my friends if they came and asked, hey, would you do this for free? So why would they do it if I asked?
Exactly.
They can round to blows,
and then I haven't quit. It's like, I don't think this is for me.
Oh,
I don't even know what a Weeblow is.
My dad was super into Boy Scouts, so we did a lot of stuff.
Weeblows, we'll be loyal scouts.
Oh,
whoa! So check that out. I remember way too much of that crap.
Yep.
I liked some of the things they did in that initial sequence in Last Crusade. They gave Indy his scar that Harrison Ford has.
Uh-huh.
That was cool. He wasn't scared of snakes in
he's
that, still and that's great. And it really wasn't until then he wasn't scared of them then. So something happened in between because
I got the impression that after landing in that pit, he became snakes. Terrified of them because he's like, music and stuff.
That could be it. But at the beginning, he's just like picking him off. It's like no big deal.
It's like it's only a snake. It's his buddy. What's his name? Yeah. Herman or something?
That guy looks so freakish. I don't even know. I can't even describe that guy's face. just looked like plastic. I was like, what is going on?
That's a great sequence.
I really enjoyed that sequence, but
it's one of the most satisfying sequences in that film, The Last Crusade, I think. I really enjoy the opening.
It sets up a lot of both his and his father's characters and their relationship.
Yeah.
It even has the dog Indiana in it.
It does.
Yeah. See, and I don't see them... I see The Last Crusade more as a story about their relationship more than the quest story.
It really is.
And the quest is the metaphor for what's going on in their relationship.
It is, and the only reason he gets roped into the quest is because his father was obsessed with it. It's not necessarily something he was seeking.
Right.
And so it really is about his father's quest.
And it's about seeking his father. He's always sought his father's approval.
Yeah.
In everything he did. And his father loved that dog.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and it shows. I mean, even in that opening sequence, it showed his father had great affection for the dog.
Right.
So he named himself after the dog. He named himself after the thing his father loved. I thought that was very telling.
That's something I never really took from it, but you're right, and I think it's awesome. It gives a whole new layer to the film.
Mm-hmm. That's what I bring to this show.
Amen. That's why I named myself Snowflake. I was like, my dad loves that dog. I'm like, I'm Snowflake now.
Well, I also think that that movie also had his motivations were different, and they were better. Like with Raiders of the Lost Ark, he was doing it because he wanted the Ark for the museum. Basically, that's the only reason he was looking for the Ark. That's the only reason.
Yeah, even though his government came to him and pretty much demanded that he go do this.
Yeah.
At the same time,
he gets out of it.
But at the same time, his curiosity was piqued when Professor Ravenwood was brought up.
Yep.
Because it was like, huh, that's my teacher. That's also Marion's dad. I think there was something there about Marion, too, that he was still curious about.
There's a great scene when him and Brody are talking in that, because I honestly don't think that... I think he's in it for himself, but I think he's in it for the archaeological reasons. I mean, he wants it for Brody's...
I think he says he's in it for the archaeological reasons. But he's... He wouldn't go to the lengths that he's going to if it was purely for archaeology.
Always took away from it...
His quest for those items is never really about archaeology.
No.
I mean, when he goes into the South American temple or whatever, and he tells Marcus, I had it in my hand, I mean, obviously, if he wanted to just keep it for himself and pawn it, he could have.
Right.
But it's really about the adventure.
Acquiring the item.
And that's what I think changes from Raiders to Last Crusade. From Raiders, it's about the adventure. It's about the... I mean, I guess you can say the prestige, the adventure itself. But in Last Crusade, it starts off that way, and then there's that awesome scene where they're at the crossroads, and it's perfect symbolism.
It is,
because Indiana's like, he says something, and then his dad's like, no, this isn't a race about who gets there first. It's about defeating the armies of evil and doing what's right.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with what we get out of it.
That's
perfect, because then they
hit it. You're right.
Right. It'll be interesting to see if that...
Yeah, he says the line where he's like, two selfless martyrs, and then he like says Lord's name, and then he slaps him across the face and says, that's blasphemy. That is a great scene.
That was awesome. That whole scene where they're just sitting there talking is brilliant.
Quest for the Grail. Not archaeology.
And that is both my concern and my hope for...
I was going to say they need to make sure that it's got to be there. His motivations have to be...
Right.
Have carried over to that point.
And question for the kingdom it's of the Christian very, skull. It's not archaeology.
Not doing his character right is what's going to kill the new movie.
Do you really think that's going to happen, though?
Yes.
Really?
That is my biggest concern. I think that they will get the entire field down, and you can see that in the preview where he's doing the whip thing, and we've talked about that 50 million times.
Yeah, where he screws up, and I mean...
Spielberg is pretty intuitive about those things.
I think if they ruin
he's made some mistakes, though, too. I'm looking at you, Lost World.
Lost World? Well... What is the Lost World, though, man? It's not like... It's not like the Lost World was supposed to be some kind of, you know...
But it wasn't. It wasn't the story that was in the book either.
Michael
Crichton wrote the Lost World after the movie was made, right? What? He wrote He wrote after the script was written.
What?
He wrote the novelization of that film.
They took parts of the Jurassic Park book and put it into the Lost World.
Did they?
Yeah. There were sequences in the Jurassic Park book that were put into Lost World.
Like what sequences?
There was the aviary. That was all in Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park was a great book.
It was an incredible book. It's an incredible book.
The movie was good, but the book was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, the book. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the sequence there was a sequence Jurassic Park the movie also from the book, and it didn't matter. I mean, the movie's the movie and the book's the book. I mean,
right, but
I can't disagree with you.
That's true, but at the same time, there was a feeling that was lost in the second, especially the third movie.
Well, the third one wasn't.
I mean, it was a joke.
I didn't even know there was a third movie.
Good.
Consider yourself lucky.
Yeah, I think that's probably a bonus.
Bleach that one. We'll edit that part out of the show so you'll forget it. We'll use the genie's third wish to fix that for you. The genie's awesome. Well, I really don't have a whole lot more to say.
Hold on. Predictions,
okay.
For the fourth movie. I think if they screw with Indy, who is the linchpin... Well, actually, Have you seen Harrison Ford in an interview? The man is incomprehensible.
Yeah.
How he acts is beyond me. Because that dude must have, like, the gift of God when it comes to acting. Because I cannot understand a word that guy says in interviews.
I just get the impression he's incredibly, what? Incredibly shy.
Oh, he is. And he, like, is.
You know, like, that's just, I think, what it is. I don't necessarily think he's incomprehensible as a matter of speaking. But I think he just doesn't like to be...
He does not like to talk.
Public.
No. You know. And one of the... Julie had one of the, like, entertainment shows on earlier, and somebody asked him the question, how do you stay so humble? He said, it's pretty easy. If you don't do it, somebody else will do it for you. And, I mean, that's just kind of him. Yeah. I mean, the dude was a carpenter when they found him for Star Wars. I mean, he wasn't a working actor at the time.
And if you look at his roles...
I mean, I think he wanted to be an actor. I think that's part of Hollywood legend.
He was in some early films before he was a carpenter.
Yeah.
He was in Force 10 and American Graffiti.
That's right. That's right.
And then Lucas grabbed him because he worked with an American Graffiti.
Right.
And that's how he got his breakthrough.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, what's interesting about him is, I think that it kind of gives him a little bit of an understated in all of his roles. Like you don't have to worry about him overacting.
No.
In anything, which is nice.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
it is. And there's been a few movies where he has, and they sucked. They were horrible.
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't have to worry about it. He has
done a couple. I mean, done it a couple of times. And I mean,
yeah, like, which ones?
What was that one he did with Josh Hartnett?
Oh, I didn't go see that.
That was horrible. That was god awful.
That was going to be awful.
It was horrible.
I mean, well,
Hollywood something.
Homicide.
That's it.
Just the title makes me.
Oh my god,
like,
that was. That was.
I mean, come on. He was born to play Indy and Han Solo.
Yeah, he was.
He just was.
Yeah.
But he also has like a lot of other great movies with deeper subtext.
On for October and Patriot Games.
Well, those are good, but not necessarily.
Regarding Henry. Regarding Henry is
Regarding Henry is
a fantastic movie. Witness.
I think. Well, I like Blade Runner a lot, but he doesn't really do a lot. It's mostly the real world around him.
Yeah.
But The Mosquito Coast is a awesome movie. Damn it. I can't believe I fucking used the explicit. I'm a fucking bitch.
Nothing like doing the last 3 minutes of the show, Chief. Thanks.
Well, we can edit it. Anyway.
We can bleep those. I think that'll be funny.
Was an awesome movie. Mosquito Coast was
actually, you
awesome.
Know what? I took an Indiana Jones quiz the other day, and that was the one I missed.
The Mosquito Coast?
Yeah. It was what movie?
Oh, that was the movie I missed.
River Phoenix.
Melina sent me that one, too, and I took the quiz. What'd you get on it?
I got most of them except for that last one. Okay. I got everything but that one. And I was like, I don't know. I don't even know.
I got 80%. I don't remember what. I probably missed two of them.
You ought to see that movie, dude. It's really great.
I know. It's effing amazing.
Regarding...
Apparently.
It was worth getting the explicit tag for, apparently.
It's blanking amazing.
Cracks that third beer and it all goes out the window.
Okay. This is why you stopped at two last time, I see.
I know.
Oh, perfect. Okay. I finally came up with it. The humor that is unintentional but hysterical in Last Crusade.
All right.
Okay. At the end of the beginning sequence, he's young, blah, blah, blah. The guy comes in and he said, you know what? You can't win them all, kid. And today you lost, blah, blah, blah. You can't be pissed about it. Whatever he says.
Yeah.
You lost today, kid. But it doesn't mean you have to like it?
Yeah. That's what he says. So he takes off his hat and he puts it on him. And then he dips it down. Mm-hmm. And then does the flash forward in time.
Mm-hmm.
And then leans it up. And you can tell that that Indiana Jones is remembering it. And he gets that knowing, kind of nostalgic smile. And then he gets punched in the face.
Yeah. He always has that smile, and then things don't work out.
Yeah.
Like he's like, Sean Connery's like, when we're in the air with Germany behind us, then I'll think we're okay. And he goes, relax. Then he looks down, and there's like a Nazi is like walking up the stairs. He's like, son of a bitch.
No ticket. He had so many great one-liners.
There are a lot of good one-liners in there.
Oh, that was brilliant. All right, that's...
All right.
I can't come up with another one right off the bat. Or during the course of the last half of the episode, so...
Well, we'll probably end up talking about these movies more in the next episode.
Definitely. I probably can see that coming.
Since the next episode.
You want to give your prediction?
My prediction is that there will be whip cracking and gun shooting and artifact acquiring.
Fedora wearing.
Fedora wearing.
You will acquire the artifact.
Leather jacket wearing. I think he acquires every artifact at some point. I think he will acquire the artifact. I think the artifact will get taken from him by the Soviets, because they have said that the Soviets are the enemy in this one.
Oh, I want
the
Nazis. Anyway.
It's a 50s.
Yeah, dude. I always figured if they'd make another one, it would be the Soviets, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, who else could it be?
I guess. I really hope I think they're going to overplay the...
Boris and Natasha Soviets?
No, I'm too old for this.
I don't know.
You think they're going to overplay it?
I think they are. Because, I mean, even the previous...
Perhaps.
Assassin is easy as it used to be.
We'll see.
Perhaps.
You come to see with us on Friday?
I don't know. Not sure yet.
All right.
We're looking at... We have to get somebody to watch the kids. Because this is a movie that I've been warned against going to see with... No, going to see without my wife.
Oh. Oh. One of the two warnings you can get about a movie.
Yeah. Don't go see it with kids, or you better take me, goddammit. It was the second one I got this time. And you?
I think it will be very entertaining, and it'll be as good as Temple and The Last Crusade. I don't expect it to be a Raiders,
yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah,
that's
a safe expectation. I'm not looking for much. You know, I'm going into this with the same expectations I had from, like, Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
And my expectations, after seeing that movie, I was completely blown away.
If it hits all the right buttons and it's entertaining, what more can you ask for?
If it returns me to this nostalgia of enjoying the first three movies, I'm cool with it. I can't
succeeds over episode 2 of Star Wars.
Hey, episode 2 is my favorite of the first three.
Really?
You know what we need to do?
I edit it, though.
You know what we need to do? We need to have a special edition.
Yes,
and the three of us need to sit down, and we need to watch Adam's edit. And we need to do live commentary.
You actually made an edit.
You haven't heard this yet.
I listened to the episode where he says...
But you just kind of just forgot.
No, I skipped
through
all the scenes.
That's it.
Yeah,
you
pushed
it. All you
have to
do.
No, you don't.
No, that's all you have to do.
Oh, okay.
You push the next chapter, and then because they're all divided in chapters by the different characters.
Yeah.
As soon as they come on the screen, you push next chapter. It skips to Obi-Wan, and then if you watch
just basically the Obi-Wan part.
Yeah. Hey,
can you tell me that the Obi-Wan plot was not awesome?
I don't really know.
By itself, the Obi-Wan plot was like a mystery, and he's trying to figure it out, and he's lightsabering people.
Yeah, but I don't know. He goes to a diner, he meets that dude, he's in the library, I don't know.
And then he lightsabers some people!
I'm saying right here, we're going to have a special edition, or a special episode.
We're going to watch the Adam edit.
We're going to watch the Adam edit. We're going to do live commentary during the Adam edit. So if you listen to the episode, and when we say hit the chapter skip button, you follow along, you'll be able to listen right along with us.
Cool.
I think we will have a lot of fun with that.
That'd be a lot of fun. And that could fill in one of the summer weeks where we don't have a movie to go see or something.
We've got a couple of other things going. I mean, we've got other movies to watch.
Eights,
Well,
in July.
July, we're doing the Billy's Crazy Eights.
And Dark Knight.
Dark Knight ends in July.
This could be, though, Adam's eighth edit of episode 2. Or it could be episode 8.
Or we could just do that and save it, tuck it away.
It could be special.
Because, I mean, we're just going to go out of town, so...
Screw it, we'll throw it as a special edition. I don't care. That's true. Maybe that can be a Fanboy Smackdown. We can keep the name alive.
Oh, under alternative projects and whatnot. That'd be awesome.
And whatnot.
Like, now I'd like you to see Tony's edit of Raging Bull. And it's all just the fight sequences.
Awesome.
And then the movie ends.
Yeah, we could do some commentaries on some movies. I'm sure we could.
That'd be really fun.
We could have some fun with that. Not to steal anybody's thunder. I know some other people that do that. Christiana Ellis has... I mean, that's her whole... That's one of... I mean, she's got like 18 podcasts, but one of her podcasts is, hey, want to watch a movie, where she gets some people on Skype and we all watch a movie. I did that with Escape from New York.
True.
With her and
this will be different. This is just we're gonna watch his version specifically.
Yeah, and it's not gonna be like a full 2 hour deal either.
No, it's substantially shorter.
what is it gonna be like? 45 minutes, an hour, something like that.
Something like that. Probably. It's awesome.
Sweet, excellent. We'll have to do that.
Of a podcast.
The whole ending sequence is lightsabers everywhere.
Yeah.
I never understood though. I know this is an Indiana Jones podcast.
Shit. I think we've skipped the Indiana Jones rails a while ago.
I did love Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace did for me.
Really?
What he's talking about. Mm-hmm. It restored all the nostalgia.
You know what? Okay. I recently took a trip to Chicago.
Okay.
On Thursday, when we get there, we go to Adler Planetarium. And my wife and her father want to see this IMAX thing on black holes.
Okay.
So we go in, we sit down, and then the credits start rolling. Narrated by Liam Neeson. I'm like, oh my god, awesome. Qui-Gon Jinn is narrating the freaking black hole.
That's great.
And then every time he was talking, I'm like, dude, when is
you're
the Jedi Knight?
Qui-Gon
Jinn. He's a Jedi Knight. Anyway, continue, sorry.
Well, I was just saying, the thing that really bothered me about episode 2 was how, like, in episode 1, they're like freaking doing jujitsu moves with these lightsabers, and they're so fast. And then in episode 2, they're fighting Dooku, and he's like, I can barely lift my arms, and they're all fighting ultra slow.
I don't want to totally Star Wars geek out, but if you look at the Wikipedia entries, did you know that Mace Windu fights with a dark side style, and he taught his dark side style to two of his apprentices, and then one of his apprentices went crazy and had to kill him.
Now, are you sure that's accurate, or is it just something somebody made up?
No, it is
on Wikipedia.
It's on Wikipedia, so it's got to be true.
There are thousands of pages just chronicling the minutiae of all this crap that I know was not part of the actual universe, but you know what? I don't care.
For example,
and his lightsaber is purple.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of awesome.
Maybe Samuel Jackson can pull that up.
He requested it. He requested it from Lucas. He said, I'll do it. I want a purple lightsaber. Like, we don't have purple. I want a purple lightsaber. Okay.
Does someone have a yellow one in episode 2?
Huh?
One of the dudes is a yellow.
I thought Qui-Gon Jinn had a yellow one.
No, Qui-Gon Jinn had a green one.
Mm-hmm. I think the colors that I think yellow is one of the official colors that you can have.
I mean, in the Colosseum, there's like what?
Right.
A couple hundred.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
there's a bunch of yellow ones in there.
But yeah, he's got the purple one, and he requested a cool death.
He got a
good one.
Yeah, true that.
He said he basically just didn't want to be somebody that was just slaughtered.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of Jedi slaughtering.
That was my big problem with episode 3. I mean, some of those Jedi's, those deaths were lame. They got shot in the back by a stormtrooper. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, how could they not, like, feel it coming or see it coming or whatever?
Yeah, it's like, come on.
They can see things before they happen? Come on, you would have to know. I mean, I agree. I also thought when Mace Windu looked into the camera and yelled, "This party's over," I thought that was pretty good as well.
We gotta talk about Black Snake Bone. We got
it. I need to rent that one.
You need to Netflix that. Stat.
All right. I mean, you said it's really good, but like
He said it's got Christina Ricci naked, is what he said.
For most of the movie, she's like half naked.
I don't know, man. I mean, I've never really been into Christina Ricci that much.
Well, she's all coked out. She doesn't look like she.
So that makes her hotter?
She doesn't look like she usually does.
In this movie, better? She has just as large a forehead as she normally does, but
she's no Jennifer Garner.
She's wasted, strung out, and looks
she's
like
no
a ghost.
Jennifer Garner. That woman is bad forehead. It just goes on forever. It's like, ugh.
I hope that no women with big foreheads was harmed in the making of this podcast.
We just make fun. We don't harm.
No. Nobody's harmed. It's all good.
Offended.
Just egos.
It's all love.
It's all right, love. I got
it's all love. All right, let's call this one done. Next week, actually, this weekend, we are each going to see Indiana Jones in the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, where bad guys come and try to take things, and I don't know. It's a long damn title.
Shoot,
that's the one thing about this movie. It's a long damn title.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Okay, well, Indiana Jones and the is standard for everything.
It is. Which, and it is now.
Kingdom of the
Bastards.
Well, the Crystal Skull.
Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark is as long as that. So maybe that's why they thought they could get away with it.
Probably.
It should probably just be Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Or Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of...
That's even better.
That's even much better.
The Kingdom of Indiana Jones's Crystal Skull.
There you go.
Kingdom of Indiana Jones's whip.
I'm in for it.
There's whips everywhere.
I'll buy that.
All the whips he's left around.
By the way, I'd like to say I'm pretty excited about the fact that Cate Blanchett's in the movie. I saw that.
She's the
awesome
Risky.
In every movie she's in.
She's the Risky.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's awesome in all movies. I haven't seen a bad
movie. I was looking to see if John Rhys Davies was going to be in this, and he is not.
Oh.
He's not in this?
Sorry to disappoint.
That's a shame.
He was in this for some reason.
That is a shame.
I looked him up.
Well, maybe that will be a surprise.
Wait, isn't he playing the young person who's going to follow Indiana Jones and become the next one?
That's Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf's in this movie? Son of a bitch. I'm not going to go see this.
That's what my wife said. She's like, I love Indiana Jones. I hate Shia LaBeouf.
What?
She just has unbridled hatred. I don't even know what her problem is.
I don't think there's anything wrong with him. I like Transformers. Transformers was funny.
Transformers was robot porn.
Yes.
Robot porn.
I was okay with that.
Well, you're right. I guess they weren't getting close. But
well,
I mean, what that means.
I don't get dantic about the story. Transformers. I don't trace a true to the story.
That's not what I'm talking about, because I don't care about the Transformers stories. I think the cartoon stories were ridiculous. But that movie would have been awesome if they would have just stuck with the soldiers.
True.
I really dug the soldier storyline in Transformers.
The soldier storyline was good, but there was a lot of that pointless patriotism of the soldiers that irritates the hell out of me.
See, I don't have a problem with that.
But then they totally lampooned
it. I don't have a problem with it. I still haven't seen 300 because you haven't brought it.
They lampooned it in the second half. They make fun of, what's his name, plays the goofball, who's part of the Special Forces.
I don't know who
was. That ridiculous.
John Turturro.
Yeah, but
that guy's hilarious. Everything.
Then the ridiculous sequence where the college students are able to hack into and figure out the code of that was just pandering.
It's a comedy. It's not like that's one thing I thought was. I thought Transformers was a great comedy.
The problem I had with the movie. The problem I had with the movie is the inconsistency, though, because they played the soldiers' part very seriously, and they played it for a dramatic effect. Mm-hmm. Then they played the Shia LaBeouf bumbling teenager love story thing.
Yeah,
then they had the hey, we're hip teenagers, and we can outbeat all of the hackers of the NSA.
It's like an independent.
And then we're gonna go. And then don't get me started with that crappy movie.
It's all dramatic, and then they fly into the mothership and they download from an Apple iMac or something the virus that's gonna save the world.
Megan Fox was really hot, so I overlooked a lot of the flaws.
See, because it's not a serious movie. Who cares? I mean, it was funny. It was entertaining. Who cares?
It had Optimus Prime kicking ass, which is pretty much all I went to go see anyway.
I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. My expectations of the movie were so low that I walked out of it pleased that Optimus Prime said, "Let's roll." I mean, really,
more than meets the eye.
They are.
Oh, come on.
My expectations of some of these movies are pretty low, and that one was pretty low, and it met all of them. I mean, kind of like when we went and saw Snakes on a Plane. Snakes,
to be
plane, Samuel L. Jackson swearing at people and kicking snakes.
That movie was an R-rated version of The Fall Guy.
Samuel L. Jackson is awesome in everything he does.
Dude,
this is why we have to talk about Black Snake Moan. Cool.
We should have a Samuel L. Jackson, like...
We could call it the Blackest
Bob. Movies, dude. It'd be awesome.
Oh, let's not.
The what?
Blackathon.
No, I don't think that's the right thing to do. I mean,
he's so awesome.
He is awesome.
He's very cool. I mean, I even liked the Shaft movie, and it wasn't even that good.
No, it wasn't, but he was awesome.
He was awesome in it, exactly.
Yeah, we talked about Shaft, too.
We did talk about Shaft.
That was our Mother's Day special the year before last.
You know, fiddling with that bottle cap is going to be better.
I know. When you're listening to this, and you're like, what is that noise?
Oh, I know what that noise is.
It's me cracking the whip.
Trust me, I've been drinking on podcasts for a long time. I know what that noise is.
All right, so let's end this. End Kingdom of the Crystal Skull next week. Leave us feedback. You guys know how to do it. Same as before, even though we changed the name.
That's Indiana it. Jones and the Backseat Producers. That's the name. We changed it when we did our DVD re-release.
Yes. All right. See you guys next week.